Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Last week, we introduced a new series called Ways to Kill a Gospel Culture. Last week, we talked about taking up the offenses of others, and today, we're going to talk about gossip.
Gossip is one of those sins, Mike, that we know is in the Bible, but no one ever thinks that they do it. I can't remember a time when I've heard someone confess or repent of the sin of gossip. And so this is one of those that I think we need to shine some light on, because I think this is way more pervasive in our own hearts and our relationships than we give it credit for. And so we thought it'd be really helpful to shine some light on this. And as we were preparing, Mike, you were reading from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of course, one of the giants of 20th century church history, who wrote a book called Life Together, just a really great description of Christian community. And he had some wise things to say in there about gossip.
Yeah, in the fourth chapter, it's the chapter about ministry, he says this, "But to speak about a brother covertly is forbidden, even under the cloak of help and goodwill. For it is precisely in this guise that the spirit of hatred among brothers always creeps in when it is seeking to create mischief."
Mischief. So it's interesting that Bonhoeffer just says, man, even if your motive is purported to be helpful or constructive, it's just not good to talk about someone when they're not in the room. So that's a helpful voice from history. Dusty, one of the books we've found helpful is Ken Sandy's book, Peacemaker. We've mentioned this book before on the podcast. Just a brilliant book about gospel community and gospel culture and what it means to cultivate and make peace and cultivate a spirit of grace. He has a really helpful definition of gossip that we've used just to help our team grow in this area. And I thought it might be helpful to read that.
Yeah, Ken Sandy defines gossip like this. He says, "To gossip means to betray a confidence or to discuss unfavorable personal facts about another person with someone who is not part of the problem nor its solution."
So I think that's great, because I think most of us can understand the idea of betraying a confidence. Like if I say, "Hey, Mike, I'm going to tell you this. I'd like this to stay between us." Most of us would know, well, yeah, if I tell that to someone else who's not in the room, that's gossip. But I like Sandy's definition of sharing unfavorable facts about someone when that person I'm sharing with is not part of the problem or part of the solution. I think that's actually where most gossip happens is well, Mike didn't tell me not to tell anyone else, but Dusty, you need to know that Mike's kind of a jerk. You know, I'm sharing unfavorable things about someone who's not in the room, and I can have all kinds of motives for that, some sinister and some can be seem very innocent. But in any case, I'm actively gossiping if I'm sharing unfavorable facts about someone who's not part of the problem or not part of the solution.
One of the reasons that we do that we speak unfavorably about other people, is because we hate to feel like failures. And so this is why there's whole industries, you know, just spending all of their time and all their money and all their energy gossiping about everyone around them. And because we hate to feel like failures, and because we hate to be unfavorable on our own, as soon as somebody else is, we're fine with talking about that.
Of course, Proverbs has much to say about gossip, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, but a very helpful book that's come out in the past few years is a book called Resisting Gossip by Matthew Mitchell, published by CLC Press in 2013. And it's just a book on gossip. This guy's just a pastor who said, man, this was eating my church up, and someone needs to write helpfully on the subject of gossip. He gives the most simple test that I've found on gossip, and it's simply the application of the golden rule. So he says, the question I should be asking before I speak is, would I want someone else to talk this way about me if I were not in the room? That's just the simplest and most helpful thing I've ever read on gossip. It's just, if I wouldn't feel good about someone talking this way about me if I weren't in the room, I shouldn't talk this way about someone else who's not in the room. That just applies easily and broadly to every category of gossip, and I think that's a very helpful starting point. So let's talk about some of the ways this plays out in a community, Dusty. One of the things that Mitchell says is we can often mask our desire to gossip by claiming that we are just seeking counsel. And I think this we see this play out often in the community, too. It's like, well, I mean, Dusty, I kind of need some counsel on this, bro, because I actually got issues with Mike. And so I purport to be seeking counsel. And I think, actually, maybe my heart is right in that. Maybe I'm just perplexed by what to do. But oftentimes, because we, for some reason, perceive gossip to be, my intent has to gossip. So, like, if I say, hey, Dusty, did you hear that Mike's marriage is in trouble? Right? That feels like gossip because my intent is to do something demeaning or harmful. But if it's supposedly coming out of an innocent place in my heart, if I don't feel like I'm being subversive or vindictive, it doesn't fall in the category of gossip to me. It's just like, well, I mean, yeah, he's not in the room, but this is true, right? So I can, I mean, right. We should speak the truth, and I'm speaking the truth. I know he's not here, but this is the truth, right? Or I don't feel uncomfortable speaking this because I'm seeking counsel.
Yeah, and I think gossip is a very subtle sin, like you mentioned earlier, and I think we would never come out and say, like, hey, man, did you hear about Mike's marriage? Because obviously that just triggers gossip right away, and if I'm a true Christian right there, I'm going to call you on it. So it's very subtle.
By the way, I think Mike's marriage is fine. This is just an analogy. Yeah,
tell
Jenny it's all good.
Great example. We'll call Jenny after this. But it's very subtle in this, and it masks itself in ways like this. Hey, I'm just really concerned for them. Or like you would never say, hey, did you hear what I heard? Because that's just very obvious and blatant and black and white. Really, we approach it out of concern, out of a heart, and I don't realize in the moment that my heart can deceive me in that very moment.
So I'll give you a practical example that happened to me last week. I was talking to a person who left our church in the past year or so. A friend of mine said, you know, this other person came to me and asked me why we left the church. And, I mean, since they asked, I just felt free to tell them. And then they started pressing deeper into more questions about, like, what I thought about you. So I told him a couple things I think about you that I've never really told you before. So I feel like I should, that's why I wanted to sit down and meet with you. Cause I already told this to them. So now I'm telling it to you. And I was just like, bro, that sounds a lot like gossip.
Yeah. And we have a generation among us that thrives on the truth, or it says that it thrives on authenticity and truth telling and being very honest, which gets us into trouble because we would say, well, I'm not going to go around saying anything. But I mean, if people ask me a direct question, well, then I'm just going to have to answer that, you know, which is just another, which, you know, that's a tight spot to be in. But really, if you're a Christian, what you're after is true discipleship, and Christianity in its truest form has a deep sense of maturity about it. And so you can't just get by with, well, if you ask me a direct question, I'll give you the answer. Because Christian maturity says, well, actually, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so before I proceed and have this conversation with someone outside of that. Going back to Ken Sandy's definition.
So one of the helpful things in Matthew Mitchell's book is he gives in chapter 3 what he calls a gallery of gossips. And this is based on the book of Proverbs and just all the truth in the book of Proverbs about gossips. And so I want to give you the five categories of gossips. These are sort of just caricatures of what kinds of people fall into gossip, or the different ways that gossip manifests itself in a community. Category one, gossip number one, is what Mitchell calls the spy. And this is rooted in Proverbs 11:13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. And so out of that, the Hebrew word translated slander in this verse is a word that means a huckster, a deceiver, or a spy. He says we might use the word informer. Hmm. And so this is the person who just likes to be in the know. And he says the spy is primarily motivated by a hunger for power. I like the status of being on the inside, in the know, knowing data that other people don't know. And so this person is sort of like they're like a confidential informant, right? Where they have data now on the, you know, I watch a lot of cop shows. So like the confidential informant thing works for me because I'm like, yeah, they're the insider who's actually a double agent working for the other team, right? But there's this sense of they like knowing something that that shouldn't be known, or having inside information. So that's category one. And the interesting thing is he says the answer to that is to recognize the incomparably great power that's mine in the gospel, and that I don't need to find power in information because I already have the power of God in and through the Holy Spirit, and Jesus used his power to love, not to just gather information.
I think that's very interesting because one of just kind of the benchmarks or one of the gut checks that you could have as a Christian is to ask yourself the question, why do I want to know this particular information? Or what's my motivation behind this kind of knowledge? I think if you can ask that question on the front end, just being really practical here, why do you want to know the answer to all of that stuff? You know what I mean? Or why do you want to know what's going on in that person's life? Is it because you feel called by God to actually invest in that, walk the long road with that, and be involved with that or them? And if not, then it's probably not your information to know. You don't need that knowledge,
yeah.
Right?
Gossip number two that Mitchell gives us is the grumbler. He says a word in Hebrew that's commonly translated gossip in Proverbs is the Hebrew word nirgon, which is consistently translated whisperer. And the idea here is murmuring about another person rather than openly complaining. So the idea is the grumbler is a complainer, a criticizer, a fault finder. He says we often call this venting, but there is no constructive purpose in this kind of talk. So what's funny is I think people use the category of, well, I just need to vent about this. The answer is no, you don't. Because there's not a constructive purpose in that other than you feeling better about the fact that you vented, which the Bible doesn't give you permission to do that. And so he says the gospel remedy for the grumbler is just contentment and thanksgiving rather than grumbling, complaining. And I see you see that a lot in communities too. There's a lot to complain about. If you're in an average gospel community or an average church, there's plenty of stuff to complain and grumble and moan about. And when we do that, again, when we're not talking directly to someone who has power to do something about that, it's gossip.
Yeah, and you mentioned whisper and scripture. Depending on the translation of Bible that you have, whisper and gossip, I noticed in scripture, get interchanged quite a bit. And then Proverb 16:28 says this, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. And so even to go off of what you're just talking about, usually if I'm on a vent, it's going to be with a close friend or somebody that I trust. You know, I just need to vent for a minute. But really what scripture says there is that's actually going to drive your friendship apart.
Gossip number three in Mitchell's gallery of gossips is the backstabber. This one is more sinister. He says, like the grumbler, the backstabber is full of complaint, but his heart is more hateful. Backstabbing gossip overflows from a heart bent on revenge. The backstabber actually desires the target of his gossip to experience pain. And so this is a more sinister one. This probably isn't one you can fall into innocently. This comes out of a heart of retaliation, revenge, vengeance. But man, when this takes root in a community, when you have a person who's the backstabber, it gets really destructive really fast because this person is bent on revenge. And because of that, the sort of longing lust for someone else to experience pain and to be hurt by this can fuel a lot of really destructive things.
Yeah, and that's what James talks about in chapter 3 in his letter. And this is going back to Ken Sandy. This is what he talks about. Ken Sandy's whole book on peacemakers about conflict. And so the definition that we shared earlier comes out of that premise. And one of the things that he says in there is gossip is an attacking response. So when you talk about backstabbing, Sandy digresses on that and says gossip's an attacking response to conflict. And so we're prone to defend ourselves in conflict, and we want to pony up and we want to get after the other party. But really what he says, and he digresses in his book Peacemaker a little bit further, and he says really just gossip just makes your conflict way worse.
Yeah.
And then you have much more to repair.
So Mitchell says the backstabber has perhaps been hurt or damaged and is now angry to the point that he wants someone to pay for what has caused his pain. So out of pain, out of anger, I want someone else to pay. And my way of exacting revenge, my way of getting payment is to gossip about them in a way that destroys their reputation or that hurts them or that it gets at them somehow. And you can see even language I'm using to describe that, how this does violence to the atonement, right? Because the cross is God has executed justice. And that's why Scripture says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, right? So the cross allows us to entrust justice to the Lord and say, nobody's getting away with anything. And so I don't have to exact revenge. I can let go of retaliation and trust the Lord for justice. And that's the gospel remedy if you find yourself in a place where you feel retaliatory and longing for vengeance.
I think that's just a huge foothold that the enemy gets. If Satan can lure you in and entice you into gossip amidst conflict or and cause you to backstab, then the enemy starts to win right away.
Gossip number four is the chameleon. And this is probably the passive person. He says a chameleon is a person who goes along with gossip just to try to fit into the crowd. This is the guy who's just too passive to confront it. And so he kind of just finds himself pulled along in the stream of gossip because of fear of man. And so a chameleon is afraid of what her peers will think, say, or do, and afraid of being excluded. And that's what drives them into gossip. And so that obviously the solution, the gospel solution to that is the fear of God. That brings peace and comfort rather than the fear of man and the desire to be caught up because I don't want to be excluded or disapproved of. And finally, gossip number five is the busybody. A busybody is a person who is idle and enjoys meddling in other people's business. And if this is you, it's probably hard to spot this in yourself. And so this is where the light of community is really necessary. But man, there are these people in any sizable community. You're going to have a few busybodies, and the dangerous thing here is they're also usually, to go back to something you said a few minutes ago, Dusty, that they're never like, "Hey, Mike, I don't have anything to do with my time. You got any things you can tell me about people?" Right? Like it's never like they're throwing out their idleness on the front, but rather when it says they enjoy meddling in other people's business. Right. The idea is these people are usually pretty good manipulators. They're usually pretty good at getting kind of into things and just digging for information. So there was a woman like this around Coramdale for a while, and she ran into my wife at something, and the start of the conversation with my wife, she'd never met this woman, right? Comes up, she's like, "Oh, you're Lee. Hey, yeah, I've heard about you from some people." And her intro line was, "You know, I was talking to this one person and they told me about this situation that happened recently. That must have been hard for you." And you see how that's just a lead in right there to basically say, I'm giving you an invitation here to gossip, to give me some dirt, to tell me some stuff that I don't need to know because I wasn't in that situation and don't have any part in it. But it's just like she's opening a door to, "Hey, what do you want to offer me here?"
And your wife's like, "Hello."
Yeah. She's like, "My name is Hi. Lee." That's exactly what she did. She's like, "Hi, I'm Lee. I don't think we've met before." And so this is real dangerous. These kinds of people tend to be pretty manipulative. And again, a passive person or someone who's just not very mature can easily get sucked into those kinds of conversations, not out of a sinful heart, but just out of, I feel like I should keep a conversation going with this person. And so I answer the question that they're asking or get sucked into a conversation that I really shouldn't be. And so obviously we see in the pastoral epistles in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, language about busybodies. Paul tells Timothy when he's talking about what widows in the church should he take care of and which ones should he not take care of. He warns that some of them become gossips and busybodies saying things they ought not to. And so that's a helpful category when it comes to gossip, is just to think about whether some of us are pulled into gossip just out of boredom, out of just sort of being idle. And again, when he asks what the gospel remedy is for this, he says active love, active service, active mercy for other people. When I'm engaged in active ministry, I find it hard to gossip out of idleness. There's too many other important things to actually do, and I'm investing in people, and so gossiping about them doesn't bring any benefit. It doesn't do anything constructive or helpful for those people.
Guys, in 1 Timothy 3, Paul's writing to Timothy and giving the qualifications for deacons, and in verse 13 he says, Verse 11, he says, "Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things." Slanders there can also be translated to gossips, like we've been saying. Why does Paul hold that to a qualification for deacons? Why do we care that about how gossip can kill a gospel culture? Why is it so dangerous?
The answer to why that's in the qualifications, I think, is because the qualifications for elders and deacons in Scripture are just the marks of a mature Christian. The idea is these are people who are mature in their faith and in the gospel, and therefore they're qualified to serve and lead others. And part of the mark of maturity is how do you handle your tongue? James, the Apostle James, speaks a lot about no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, and with it we curse others. And so it's just focused on the destructive power that the tongue has. And so I think what Paul is doing in laying out those qualifications is just saying that the deacons of a church, because they are the hands and feet of the church, they're the servants, they're the chief servants in the church, they're the ones who are leading the church into active ministry. If there's any hint in them of gossip or of slander, that they will destroy, they actively destroy the vibrancy and the health of the church's ministry. And so I think it's there as a qualification, I think, just to serve as a barometer for us of, hey, and actually it's helpful for all of us to say, okay, so if I'm growing in maturity as a Christian, I should see gossip getting put to death in my life, and I should see less and less desire in me to be in the know, to gather information for the sake of power or for the sake of fitting in or for the sake of using it for vengeance against someone. I should see those desires going away and that being replaced with a desire to actively love people, to believe the best about them, to speak words of grace and life to them, to speak the best about them even when they're not in the room, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think another reason would be, if you're in an office as a deacon or an elder, you're just going to know a lot. There's going to be a lot of information that you're aware of. There's going to be a lot of information that even your spouse could be aware of. And so it's always fascinating to me to think through the qualifications that Paul lays out here. You know, why did he pick these ones? And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But it's interesting when we're talking about killing a community. You have to be marked by maturity. And really what we're talking about here is just mature disciples of Christ, right? And so Ken Sandy, he says this, even if the information you discuss is true, gossip is always sinful and a sign of spiritual immaturity. And so there's always going to be information where if you're an officer in a church, there's always going to be information that you're aware of. And most of it will be true. And you have to be wise in what you do with that information. Because what Sandy says here is it's always sinful to gossip and to slander. And I think what Paul's saying there in Timothy is you're always going to have opportunity for that. There's always going to be an opportunity to slander, cause dissension, strife, and mess up your community, basically.
It's interesting to think about then what's the alternative to gossip, right? How do we, so part of what we want this to serve as is a mirror and a diagnostic to say, well, how do you see these things in your own heart, in your own speech? How do you see these things in your own little community, whether you're a part of a gospel community or whether you're a leader of a church community? Where do you see these things present in your own heart and in the lives of others? And so how do you begin to address them? But then the other question quickly is, well, what do I do instead of gossip? How do I chart a different course? And Matthew Mitchell devotes three chapters to that question. And the first chapter is something we spoke about last week, which is believing the best. He says that the primary way you kill gossip, what gossip is it's making a critical judgment of someone else. It's based on what I know about you, have heard about you. I'm critical of you. I'm making a critical judgment. And so what would lead me to share that with someone else is, could be all kinds of those motives that we just talked about a few minutes ago. But the idea is I'm being critical of you. I'm judging you in some way. And he says the opposite virtue of that is called charitable judgment. That's just believing the best. It's saying, well, maybe Mike is having some struggles in his marriage, but you know what? I know that guy. He loves the Lord. I'm sure he's seeking God in it. I want to pray for, I want to help him. I want to pray for him. I want to be in his corner on this rather than, oh man, that'd probably be a good thing for me to talk to Dusty about, because I wonder if the elders know about that. I wonder if, right, like, I wonder who needs to know about that, and I wonder how we're going to fix that, and I wonder who, I immediately go into that world of who should I tell and you know, what can I do with this information?
Right away when you ask that question, what's the opposite of gossip? Ephesians 4:29 comes to mind. And this is one of the first scriptures that I ever memorized as a young Christian. It was me and a couple buddies, and we were just kind of messing around. And I think we were poking fun at people and just kind of making fun of people. And one of the mothers of, let's just say, a more spiritual friend of mine at the time just rebuked us and just quoted scripture. And she said, well, according to Ephesians 4:29, you're not to let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building up of others. Boom. And I was like, A, how do you know all that? And B, we're not doing that. And I was kind of like, don't over-spiritualize it. But what's interesting is Paul just lays it out right there. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so I think just the opposite of gossip would be, whatever I'm about to say, is that going to build up? Is that going to edify? Is it going to elevate? Is it going to bring much honor and grace to the situation? Because when you're gossiping, you're slandering, you're taking down, you're annihilating, you're dehumanizing people.
Right? Yeah, Proverbs 10:19 is one I use often with my kids. It says this, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is wise, right? If words are many, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up sinning against someone.
Yeah.
And so one of the positive virtues to work against gossip is just to develop the discipline of saying nothing. Like it might be true that I've heard something about someone or that I perceive something in someone, and that I might even as an immature Christian be immediately perplexed with, what do I do with this information? Do I need to pass it along to someone? Do I need to help them somehow? What do I do? I need to develop the virtue of saying nothing, mm-hmm. taking that in prayer to the Lord, saying, God, I'm aware of this, or I've seen this, or I'm concerned about this. What do I do? How do I bring this before you? Mm. Am I in a role in a place where I need to do anything with this information? And in the midst of that, praying through my heart toward this person, do I love this person? Is my heart here to see them flourish and thrive? Or am I longing here for being on the inside? Am I longing here for seeing their reputation defamed in some way? Man, there's a lot of work that can be done just in our own hearts, just by the virtue of saying nothing. And then getting to Ephesians 4, right? What I do say, I want it to be helpful, edifying, constructive. And so Matthew Mitchell also talks about just the reality that, man, it's so much easier to talk about people than talking to them, mm-hmm. you know? And part of the reason we excuse gossip in terms of seeking counsel is just because all of us are by nature conflict avoiders. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of talking to someone about something I've perceived or something I know about them or, you know, is a hard thing to do. And it's open to lots of misinterpretation, and it might create conflict. And so, you know, Sandy's whole book on Peacemaker is I can have attacking responses, or I can have avoiding responses of just, I'd rather not talk about that. I'd rather kind of stay away from it. And instead of that, talking to the person is the best and the most biblical approach. And so the answers to gossip, the sort of positive solutions to gossip are saying nothing, saying constructive things, and believing the best about the person. A few weeks ago, we quoted John Owen, who said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. And so the reason we care about these things is because we want to cultivate communities of mature disciples. And to see mature discipleship, we got to be willing to put this stuff to death. And so this is driven out of a longing for our church, for all the sub-communities that make up our church, and for the other churches that we love and want to see the gospel flourish in, that there would be a healthy gospel culture that facilitates discipleship. And this is one of those sins that we just need to stop excusing. We need to stop ignoring, and we need to start honestly confronting it in our hearts, in our tongues, and in our communities. The one final thing I wanted to say is that I think the danger of a podcast like this is now we put this on the radar for people, and now everybody's going to start being militant about, Dusty, I think you're gossiping right now, bro. You need to repent, right? And so there's a way that I can, even in my desire to be vigilant, be unloving in this. And so I think my assumption in the sin of gossip is to assume the best about people and assume, very few people are actively trying to destroy people through gossip. Right. Most people are unaware that they do this, or they've accepted it, or it was a habit in the family they grew up in, and so they're just not aware of it. We live in a culture that honors gossip and that has whole reality TV shows built around gossip. And so my assumption in trying to steward a community in this area is just to say, I'm going to assume everybody who's gossiping doesn't intend to. And so what they don't need is a harsh rebuke or a harsh confrontation, but rather a, hey, bro, you realize that person's not in the room, right? And so this probably be the kind of thing where we might want to talk with them about it. So let's stop here and go do that.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join the conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.